The Bruce Siski Show. Interact with the show on social media. Tell us what you think and learn about upcoming guests. Follow Bruce Siski Show on Twitter.
That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
Visit KDAL610.com to stream the show or catch it on the 610 KDAL mobile app. Free from iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your apps.
And the truth shall set you free.
Thanks for listening to The Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:13, Friday morning, 16th day of September 2022. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. It is pouring outside downtown Duluth, as they've been telling us for a couple of days. Rainy day on a Friday. I guess you could do a lot worse, because there's that song about rainy days and Mondays, right? Anyway, coming up, we'll talk some Twins, the crucial five-game series, possibly a season-defining five-game series at Cleveland starting tonight. Coverage at 5:30 here on KDAL. Joining us now to kick things off, the newest member of the Minnesota Wild coverage team at The Athletic Minnesota. We say good morning to Joel Smith. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Very
Rainy
good.
A lot over there, huh?
Well, we got a roof, so
like
I was looking out the window and just going to deal with it. It's not Florida weather because it's not 85 outside. It's like 55, so.
Looking forward to that, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we got the stiff wind off the lake here, so actually, look, I can tell you what, it's Twin Cities at 66 right now, so we are at 58. It is what it is. That's what happens when the wind's off the lake.
Well, it's, you know, I'll be probably, you know, relishing in that until, like, you know, what, November, December, when it really starts to get cold. So.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I will say that there is something about Lake Superior when it gets angry. It is worth seeing. I mean, you've seen oceans angry where you've lived, so I'm sure it's nothing new for you. But Lake Superior, when it builds up some waves, it's something, because we're right at the western tip of it here in Duluth, so.
Well, I've seen Lake Michigan angry a little bit, probably not the same, but obviously growing up, you know, and that's in Michigan and being the Traverse City area and like up north of Michigan, so, but probably not the same as that.
How many people think you're absolutely crazy because you are willingly moving from Florida to Minnesota?
God, I think a straw poll, maybe like 1,000 at least. I don't know. Yeah, it depends on who you ask. But yeah, like I think the number one question are people like, you realize it's cold, right? Or you realize there's winters, right? And I think it's, I didn't go in this blindly. I didn't get pushed in at gunpoint to do it. And definitely excited to come up, and for this opportunity and to work with Mike and do something special with the Wild coverage. And also for both of us just to get a chance to do some more national stories, national coverage too. So I think it's like a win-win there. And my wife and I are, we've been in the Florida for a long time, and we've, loved every minute of people, of our friends and people here. But it was time for a change, and we're both from the Midwest and have family up there and closer to Chicago. So there's a lot of really good things about it, too.
Joe, you did cover the Lightning. How long did you cover the Lightning? How many years?
For parts of 12 seasons, at least. In the last 8 or 9 as main beat writer, but in 2010, roughly, I was doing some backup stuff, so been a while.
So the reason I bring that up, I don't know if I've told you this or not, my son is an absolutely just massive Lightning fan, and it's my fault. So circa like 20 the run that they had in like 2013, right, they had JT Brown and Jason Garrison, who both played for UMD. I covered both guys at UMD. And so we had, the center ice package, and I was always stalking our alumni, Justin Falk with the Hurricanes. And then when Jason was in Florida, I watched a bunch of Panthers games when the Panthers were awful, but I wanted to watch Jason Garrison play. Then he moves on to the Lightning, and we were watching, like, it was appointment viewing to watch Lightning games, and he just got sucked into it. And now it's all Lightning all the time for him. We went down and watched a game last December at Amalie Arena for the first time. So he is absolutely in the tank for the Lightning, and it's kind of brought the rest of us in the house. When the Wild aren't playing, we watch the Lightning. So it's been a lot of fun to follow that team. What was it like to cover these last couple of years, as special as they were, in the bubble year and then a back-to-back run for them?
Well, it was pretty special. I mean, I think if you think about it, like, obviously the last couple of years have been historic, but to see kind of the whole arc from them going from, missing the playoffs, and then they obviously got swept in the first round in 2019 when they had the historic 62-win team, So they've had kind of their ups and their downs and their failures, and to see that kind of come full circle, and for all these guys that I've covered since a lot of their draft years, to get to hoist that cup, it was pretty, incredible for them and their family. So it was difficult to cover in a sense, because the first year was like the pandemic and in the bubble and a lot of Zooms and not there in person. But the second year, when you're able to watch it live and see how the city really came alive with the fans, and you were there, Thunder Alley outside the arena, and I know how special that atmosphere is outside and inside the building, and to have that celebrate in that ice, it was pretty cool to see the players and their families get to have that moment, since it was a long time coming for them.
We're talking to Joe Smith, who's moving to Minnesota to help cover the Minnesota Wild for The Athletic, and we'll talk about that move here and covering the Wild and what you've learned about that group here in a short amount of time in a little bit. But, watching that team this past year, I remember watching the Toronto series, and I forget what happened, but something happened in Game 6, so the game the Lightning won in the overtime to force Game 7 back up in Toronto. Something happened in that game at some point before overtime. And I remember looking at my kid and I said, these guys are acting like they have never won a thing in their lives and they've won back-to-back Stanley Cups. How much did you get that sense from this Lightning group that they had pretty much put that entire past behind them and they were trying to win like they never won before?
No, they were absolutely hungry. They were absolutely, like, from day one of camp, it was like the message was, are you full? Are you done? And all the guys said that, you watched them in the playoffs, and they were, Steven Stamkos was eating pucks and blocking shots. Everyone was relentless in their effort. And I just remember Game 6, they gave up two late goals in the second period, and I think a lot of people thought that they were done. And Stamkos came in the locker room after that period and kind of gave a speech and was like, hey, we're not done yet, guys. Don't let this be the end of this whole thing. And obviously, what happened next when they scored in the power play, and then they won in overtime, and then won Game 7. So it's a really unique group, and the bond that they've had over those years was really special. And you could tell just watching them, and they even almost won it again. Like, they came so close to overtime games in that cup final of that, just kind of how tight they were as a group and how relentless they were. And you have to be that way if you want to win more than one cup in a row. And they, not many teams, and I see that again, teams that are that close to winning 12 straight series.
Joe, that final series against Colorado, I think it was pretty obvious that Colorado was the better team. That said, did you ever think it was over before it was actually over? I mean, it felt you could not write this Tampa team off, and Colorado just suffocated them that last third period in Game 6.
They did, and I think after the Lightning won in Colorado in Game 5, that's when I thought, maybe they can do this. You win Game 6 at home, and then all of a sudden you pick winner-take-all Game 7 with Vasilevskiy, and that I think most people would take their chances with that. But you're absolutely right that Colorado just showed it was their time, and they were a little bit healthier maybe, but I think that third period reminded me a lot of watching the Lightning the previous cup runs and just how they just shut it down, and they didn't give any inch on the ice, and they obviously deserving champions. But I thought after winning Game 5 in Colorado, there was a chance that we would have been backing for a Game 7, which would have been what an unbelievable atmosphere that would have been if it were for a Game 7.
Talking hockey with Joe Smith of The Athletic. So you were there long enough. What do you remember about covering JT Brown, Jason Garrison? I know you've had a chance to talk to Cole Koepke, even though he's yet to make his NHL debut.
Oh, they're great, great guys. I mean, I still talk to JT. He texted me when I announced that I was going to Minnesota and giving me some tips and stuff on where to move and where to live. So obviously, high character guys that the players loved in the room. JT, played a key role in some of those teams that were before they made their big runs, like 2015. And Garrison was a guy that was very popular too. And obviously, I was in incredible shape. And he's just one of those guys that I know makes everybody else look bad. But he was a great guy, and he played the 15 run to the Cup final. And now you have Cole Koepke. I've talked to him actually yesterday at development camp, and there's a legitimate chance that he could make the team with a good camp because of the injuries they've had up front. So definitely interesting to watch and see his development too.
And I'm assuming you don't mind being a little closer. I know you're not covering the Lightning formally, but you don't mind being closer to Isaac Howard either, right?
No, absolutely. And I think this league, needs more personalities like that. They need guys that have a little bit of swagger to them. And just getting a chance to meet him and his family at the draft, you can tell that he's going to be something special there. They don't have a lot of guys like him in their system, but they'll definitely look forward to hopefully maybe going and checking some games out for sure.
Talking to Joe Smith of The Athletic, you do move to Minnesota now. So, you know, I know, and Mike Russo's a friend of this show. He's a friend of mine, too, and I've known him for a while. And I know you've known him for a while, too. Working with him is going to be really exciting for you. But what excites you about covering this hockey team? I got to think it starts and ends at number 97.
Absolutely. Well, I've covered a very special, a lot of special players here in Tampa, especially Nikita Kucherov and how creative he is and smart he is. And I just, watching, Kirill from afar and seeing kind of the plays that he can make, and even just at such a young age and so early in his development in the NHL to be able to be one of the top players in the world is incredibly impressive. So I'm curious about watching that line, how they work together. I'm curious to see what Marco Rossi does in camp, see if he can make the team, see how they mix the blue line pairings there, see what happens. But yeah, I'm just excited about being in a different market, and I've already felt welcomed by a lot of the fans that have reached out on Twitter or email, and I did a live room the other day, had a bunch of people on that. So it'll be fun to kind of learn a new team, learn the new players and their families and their backstories, and see if Mike and I can do something different than what we're doing so far.
The one thing I will say, with a lot, having watched a ton of their games over the last decade or so, and you had a front row seat for this, and I want you to say it, because I know you think this way. How cool is that Tampa market? They have done such a fantastic job down there, and those people know what they're watching. These are not dumb hockey fans in Florida.
No, they're not. They don't need any hockey 101 classes about what's an icing by any stretch. It's a very smart market. It's a very passionate market. They sold out like 260 straight games. And then you've been to the building. You've been around the arena, what Jeff Fittick has done for that whole entire downtown area, especially for the playoffs. People have gotten a front row seat to what they can be. So, it may not be as many maybe fans as there are, obviously, in Minnesota or Wild, or just overall the entire state, because Florida is just a different animal in terms of a lot of transplants. People from all over the country move to Florida, so it's not quite as in sync is like maybe Minnesota hockey fans, but they definitely were patient, and they were rewarded with probably the golden age of Lightning hockey I just covered, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the Frozen Four is in Tampa for the third time. We've yet to get there with UMD, so my hope is that we can get down there this year and experience a Frozen Four, because I've been told they do an absolutely bang-up job with the Frozen Four when they've had it down there. Joe is at theathletic.com, and I will tell you, I've read a bunch of his stuff with his Lightning coverage over the years. It is fantastic. You're going to love him. Yeah, him and Mike Russo are going to do a fantastic job covering the Wild. I cannot wait for the season to start. Joe, appreciate the time. Well, let's connect again once the season gets going.
Absolutely. I know one of my things on my bucket list is going up to Duluth, so I'm looking forward to checking it out, especially maybe when Lake Superior is a little bit in a better mood. So,
yeah, well, we'll try to help you out on that. Just text me anytime.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Joe. Weekend. Appreciate it. You too. Joe Smith with The Athletic. He is going to be moving up to Minnesota and covering the Minnesota Wild. And again, Joe is a great writer. If you subscribe to The Athletic, go look up the Lightning stuff he's written over the years, some features on Kucherov and Hedman, Stamkos, back when they won those back-to-back Stanley Cups, and stuff he's written about John Cooper. It is just tremendous. You're going to love his writing. And he's going to add a lot to Minnesota Wild coverage, I think, starting this season. 1026, Brandon Warn, Access Twins, another fantastic writer. We're going to talk some Twins heading into probably a season-defining series this weekend in Cleveland. 1026 at KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. We'll talk University of Minnesota football after this.
It's time to fight the flu. And when you come to us, you can count on us. Convenience, care, and a warm smile. Friendly pharmacists you can trust. Expert advice you can rely on. And personalized services, from free flu shots to vaccinations to strep, flu, and COVID testing. We take the time to really get to know our customers, because your health matters to us. And we'll always put you first, so you can put them first. Visit your local Cub pharmacy for your free flu shot today.
The 2-0 Gophers host 0-2 Colorado tomorrow afternoon at Huntington Bank Stadium. Golden Gopher defensive end Thomas Rush says they know they've played well so far, but they always look at each game as its individual own body of work.
Right now it's 0-0 for Colorado. When we were at New Mexico State, it was that week we were 0-0 the New Mexico State season. So, each game is its own entity. One is not more important than the other. The next one is the most important one. whatever happened in the past is irrelevant, and we got to learn from it and get on to the next one. You go throughout each week and you reset the button and get a new game plan and learn it to the best of your ability, watch film, do all that stuff, and then you go out and play. And that's just kind of how we go through our process, and each week it's like that. And I think that helps us focus in on this game and what it's worth, and not worry about what's coming up next, what happened in the past, what's down the road in however many weeks. So I think that's something that we as a defense kind of embody a lot too, with just being, this game's important, you got to focus on it, nothing else matters.
That's Thomas Rush, and that's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
The Bruce Siski Show.
Hey, you want a s'more? S'more what? Okay. No, you want a s'more. Okay. I haven't had anything yet, so how can I have some more of nothing?
Shut up!
You're killing me, Smalls.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAO.
And quick transition here, get to the news, and then we'll talk some Twins. Brandon Warren, Access Twins. We will talk about Tuesday's no-hitter that wasn't at Target Field, and we will also discuss this weekend's big series, Twins and Guardians in Cleveland, and perhaps even on the rules changes coming to baseball. All that and more after the news, 10:33 on KDAL.
The Bruce Siski Show.
I've always wanted to be in the Witness Protection Program. Fresh start. No debts, no baggage. I've already got my name picked out. Lord Rupert Everton. I'm a shipping merchant who raises fancy dogs. That's the life.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAO.
No show Monday because of the early Twins game to wrap up their series in Cleveland. We're back on Tuesday. Jeff Papis on Bulldog Football. And we'll keep the Bulldog Football theme going on Tuesday with defensive coordinator Trey Dill. Joining us now from Access Twins, friend of the show, Brandon Warren. Good morning, sir.
Hey, nothing like a little Boston to bring you into the show. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long time since we talked, so I thought it was fitting. Okay, Bruce,
no,
really?
Perfect. That's exactly what I was thinking.
All right. I don't know why I even say these ridiculous things sometimes. How you been?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. So let's talk Twins. Let's talk first about Tuesday, which was the impetus for me getting a hold of you and getting you on the show. I thought of you as I'm watching the game, and I knew what was coming. I looked at the little pitch counter on Bally Sports North, and I saw it at 106 as Joe Ryan walked off the mound with an intact no-hitter in the seventh inning. Well, this is over. He's not coming out for the eighth, and sure enough, he didn't. And the reaction was exactly what I expected. What was your reaction?
Yeah, isn't it funny how predictable the reaction can be on Twitter?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, 106 pitches, I he's not going to finish it, right?
Right.
So do you bring him back out in the eighth and let him face the start of the order and then get a curtain call if he comes off the mound during that inning? But he's not going to finish it. So go get your guy, go get your reliever, and just win the game, because really that's all that matters is winning the game. Pitchers don't win games. Teams win games, and I always feel like that's something people gloss over.
Here's one thing I will ask you, and I've got no disrespect toward Giovanni Moran. He's done a pretty good job whenever he's been called upon. Are you surprised? I understand that it's a 6-0 game. Are you surprised they didn't go to the big guns?
A little, but at the same time, I think they had to live to fight another day, and bullpen management requires looking forward as much as it does looking backwards and looking at today. And so the ability to have Juan Duran go in last night is probably affected by his lack of usage on Tuesday. So, I mean, it's tough. They've been really, really strict with Duran. But if they would have put him in there in the eighth or the ninth, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. I just might have thought there were better places to use him, like with a one-run lead last night in the ninth inning.
I felt like and Joe Ryan's out of the game at this point, I felt like every time that Moran threw a ball or every time there was a foul ball hit, they cut to the dugout. And they almost like they overplayed that hand. They wanted to show Joe Ryan. And the facial expression was that of somebody who would probably not too thrilled with where he was standing at that particular moment. He wanted to be out there just like any competitor would. But, it felt like afterwards Joe handled that as well as you could possibly expect somebody to.
Yeah, he seems like an interesting cat. And I think what they need, players need to understand, is that Rocco is looking at protecting the team's, I don't want to say investment because I hate how that sounds, but protecting Joe Ryan for his benefit and their benefit. If he stays healthy, he gets paid more in the future. He helps the Twins more in the future. I think it's a wise idea. Now, let's talk about Johan Santana throwing that no-hitter for the Mets a few years back. He had like a he made 10 more starts after that point in his big league career with an ERA of like 8. You got to protect these guys. The Mets didn't do that for Johan. He was 33 at the time, and he barely pitched again. I can't say it's a correlation, causation, cause and effect thing, but there's a reason why teams protect these guys. Also, too, if the Twins were to happen to make the playoffs, if Tyler Malley can't go, they need Joe Ryan very badly to make a playoff start.
Oh, there's no question about that. And that's I got to think that plays into Rocco's thinking. And Rocco said it after the game, you know, I need Joe Ryan to start this weekend. And you know, we all understand, we all want to see no-hitters. They're cool. There's yet to be one at Target Field. It'd be awesome to see a twin, the twin staff get a no-hitter at home. But my goodness, they need him to start this weekend because, you know, I know a lot of fans have given up on this team, Brandon, but Rocco Baldelli's not giving up on this season, nor should he.
Well, it's basically the living version of "so you're saying there's a chance" from Dumb and Dumber. The Twins need to clean up in Cleveland, 4 of 5, most likely. I don't think they can take all 5, but, you know, it's time to get greedy. It's time for the Twins to control their own destiny as much as a team can that is 4 games down with a little over 2 weeks to go.
This is as much a playoff series as you're going to get possibly for the Twins this season. And we saw what happened last week. Cleveland goes into Target Field. They get all 3 games. All 3 games are gettable for the Twins. They get none of them. How do they flip that this weekend?
You got to be nasty. You got to be cutthroat. You got to be resilient. You have to do what Miguel Sano did a few years ago and hit a big home run to just stomp on their throats. Now, it seems weird to say stomp on the throats of a team ahead of you in the standings, especially when they're not just one team ahead of you in the standings, but two. But you got to go for the jugular. You got to be the underdog. You got to play that David versus Goliath role, even though it feels like Cleveland is perpetually the David. So it's a put up or shut up time, and they need to do it.
And you mentioned the Twins are in third, but they do have 6 games head-to-head left with the team that's in second, the White Sox. So it feels like that's a that you can literally put that, you know, on the back burner, not worry about it, because you've got plenty of opportunity to pass the White Sox of the standings. This is your last chance to play Cleveland head-to-head. And, yeah, I would agree with you. This has to be a really good weekend for the Twins.
Well, and they blew a 5-game lead, so why can't they grab a 5-game lead? Really, the only thing working against them is time, and certainly that's a big deal. But if we get to the end of the season and the Twins are sitting home at in October, they have no one to blame but themselves. I know injuries are a factor. I know the bullpen is a factor. But at the end of the day, you got to execute. You got to perform. That's the name of the game.
And I know we'll have plenty of time for postmortem on this. But I by no means am I trying to discount the fact that the Twins have basically a really good starting lineup currently not available to play baseball for them. I understand that's frustrating. I get that. But it does feel like they've had pieces in the correct places to do the things that need to be done, and those things have not been done.
Sure, yeah, Emilio Pagan has blown some big games. Gilberto Celestino has made some mistakes now in his second big league season. At the end of the day, it's all about execution. It is all about next man up, which you and I have probably heard our entire lives in sports, that you have to be prepared to go to the next option when your first option is either hurt or ineffective. And the Twins have had stretches where they've done that, and they've had stretches where it's been embarrassingly bad. Now, what's it going to look like? That's the million-dollar question.
Brandon, before we let you go, I want to ask about these proposed rule changes in baseball. I think we've heard a lot of speculation about pitch count or about pitch clocks and getting rid of the shift. It looks like it might be becoming reality. And we've seen it in the minor leagues, the pitch clock. I've heard mixed results, mixed reviews to that. What do you think of what Rob Manfred's trying to do here to, you know, maybe dress up the game of baseball a little bit?
Well, didn't we have the clocks between pitches or between plate appearances and between innings? And it kind of was an unspoken agreement that players would get warned if they were stepping out of the box too much. And we didn't really notice that too much. I've talked to a bunch of minor league people who really, really like it. Games are a lot more crisp. They turn around a lot faster. My question is, how are they going to feel about advertising money? Because there's not going to be as many ad breaks. But we'll see how it goes. I really don't have a problem with banning the shift in the sense that the rules are the same for everyone, so everyone has to adapt all the same. But at the same time, too, there's always unintended consequences, and I'm curious what those are going to be, because like with the replay rule, with a guy sliding over second base and lifting his foot off for a split second, I don't think the replay review was ever supposed to find that. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes in practice and in execution, but for now, I'm cautiously optimistic.
With the shift, it's and I hate to be the guy that does the simpleton thing, but it feels like you can beat the shift by just putting the ball the other way once or twice, and eventually they're going to stop shifting on you. Is that, to me, the big problem, if baseball's got a problem besides pace of play, it's maybe this lack of balls in play. Is this going to solve that?
I think it'll help. I mean, at the end of the day, pitchers throwing 92-mile-an-hour sliders is just as much the culprit as a guy being unwilling to try go the other way. And when you think about it, if a guy's livelihood requires him to do something different, sure, that's scary as a hitter. Joey Gallo or Max Kepler are going to be like, I don't know if I want to work on hitting the other way if it's going to ruin my swing. But at the end of the day, if it's either stay in the big leagues or be out of the big leagues, you got to make those adjustments, and we just haven't seen guys do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. I want to point the finger at the hitters as much as anybody else, and I just, you know, my frustration is you don't get the traffic on the bases. I understand why we don't have stolen bases as much anymore. I get that. It's fine, but then there has to be something else happening. Otherwise, the game is it's hard to watch sometimes, to be honest.
Yeah, and I've come full circle on that. I'd like to see more stolen bases. I don't want to see more balls in play, like lazy fly balls and grounders to second.
Right.
But I'd just like to see a little more dynamic element to the game. And I think that this is a step in that direction. I don't know. Maybe if they ever do the bigger bases for stolen bases, we'll see if that helps. Apparently in the minors, they didn't have much effect. So, yeah, there's a lot of things going on here that I'm curious to see how they pan out, and hopefully the unintended consequences aren't too severe.
Brandon is at Access Twins. How can people find Access Twins?
Just go to accesstwins.substack.com, add your email, and you will get notified every time something new goes up.
Fingers crossed this is a good weekend for the Twins, and they stay relevant for the last couple of weeks of the season. Appreciate the time as always, sir.
Be good.
Brandon Warren, Access Twins. Again, accesstwins.substack.com. Simple ad on your phone, your email, whatever, and you can get all that stuff into your inbox as soon as it is posted. Couple of things. A lot of local games last night. Get all those scores at KDAL610.com. KDAL610.com. Mentioned the sports schedules on the website as well. We got a lot going on this weekend, as we detailed earlier on this hour. And we certainly are hoping that this rain doesn't affect that football game up in Mulaski tomorrow night. Nice article in the paper this morning, the Little News Tribune, on Military Appreciation Night and everything that UMD and that football coaching staff led by Kurt Wiese have put into this event, the eighth year they've done it. They do a fantastic job, and I hope that it's a nice night tomorrow night for a football game. UMD versus Upper Iowa will have it on Cat Country 98.9 tomorrow night, coverage at 5:30, and opening kickoff at 6. And the Bulldogs back on KDAL for probably the rest of the season, starting next weekend in Sioux Falls. So this is an interesting weekend for the Bulldogs. This is an Upper Iowa team that had a 14-0 lead at home last week, didn't get the job done, couldn't hold that lead, couldn't complete the comeback late once they did fall behind. And it's a Bulldog team that probably deserved a better fate against Minnesota State Mankato, but also got in its own way, a turnover that led to a touchdown, a punt return touchdown, and just not executing offensively, as you heard Chase Vogler talk about it, and Jeff as well earlier this week. Podcast those Tuesday and Wednesday conversations by going to KDAL610.com. The podcast is there all the time. All right, we got a weekend to usher in. Rain continues. I would say moderate to heavy rain. It's not pretty. Going to be raining for a chunk of the day today. Looks like, as Hunter says, some rain potentially moving back in for the weekend. Wrap it up in a moment on KDAL.
Your Twin Ports home for Gopher football.
Zone touchdown. Golden Gophers.
KDAL.
10:59. It's a Friday morning. Rain continues. No show Monday because the Twins wrap up their series with a noon game Monday in Cleveland, which means Brad Bennett and Sound Off starting on Monday at 10 a.m. We are back on Tuesday. Jeff Papus on Bulldog Football. We'll chat as well with the Bulldogs defensive coordinator, Trey Dill. Have a fantastic weekend. Sound Off is next.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This has been the Bruce Siskey Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siskey Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siskey Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.